prison was the walk. A cocky swagger up the ladder, and could he ever talk?
Morning and welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. I am Matt, your host.
Good morning.
Matt is also
your co-host.
Thank you again to Darnley for the very nice crossover and the plug for the show. And we are kicking things off this morning here on Brutal Brunch with Mighty Mighty Boss Stones. That was The Rascal King off of Let's Face It. And before I talk more about that song, we have a little bit of catching up to do after Thanksgiving.
We do.
By the way, if you want to chime in here, numbers are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. So, of course, Friday was Black Friday, and now we're here on for Black Metal Sunday.
Black Sunday.
We have our Black Metal Song of the Week coming up later.
That's true.
The original Black Metal Song.
The song.
But yeah, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Not bad. Busy. We were down in Easton and made a bunch of food. I made the turkey this year, which was big step up for me, because I usually just get to make the pies. I had to keep talking my dad down. Most of the folks who were at our Thanksgiving, including my sister's in-laws and stuff, are Jewish, but my dad kept demanding to put bacon on the turkey, and we had to talk him down off the cliff a number of times. So we figured that out, and that was a good time. And then we ate, you know, so much food that I feel physically ill for the next couple days, which is good for you, I think.
I agree.
I think you're supposed to do that. Eat until you're in physical pain.
Now, do you do anything like special for Thanksgiving Eve too?
No, just
no. No AP reunions.
No, absolutely not. I'm not going to any high school reunions. But and I was down on the South Shore anyway too. But that's about it.
Excellent. How was the rest of your weekend? Good.
Not bad. Been kind of a gentleman's weekend away for myself, because I've girlfriend's been with her folks up in Worcester. And I am, as a result, kind of a bachelor by myself in the house. So it's been just essentially, I haven't left the couch.
You're alone in the city of Melrose?
It's just been hours of video games and wrestling. So it's going to come into the home. The heat is off. It's just freezing and dark in the house. So that's how it's going to be.
Awesome.
How about you?
Before we go any further, I want to mention last week, we have a correction to make.
Oh, yeah.
Kveller Tak. Everyone pronounce their names, because we never know how to pronounce any band's names here. But they were our Black Metal Song of the Week, so I want to clarify that was Black and Roll, so not like the classic black metal you would think of.
No.
But they are indeed Norwegian. There was a little bit of a dispute on air.
Yes.
Where they hail from, so we want to just make that official. They are out of Norway.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Black and roll, though.
Black
kinda
and roll. Good stuff.
Into it.
Yeah.
I thought I kind of liked it.
But yeah, Thanksgiving was good. Nice little family gathering, or relatively large family gathering, I'll say. My Thanksgiving Eve entailed me walking a half hour in the cold by myself from where I work.
That's
over
right.
To Cambridge, from Back Bay to Cambridge.
And so what was that? Was that a movie? So, I don't even understand what you wanted. Yeah, I'd go to it, but I'm in Easton.
So there's a movie, The Love Witch. So if you don't know, we're big horror movie fans here. I'm trying to see as many horror movies as I can in 2016. The Love Witch came out as one of those, like, as my niece would say, it's an aesthetic movie. A.K.A. it's not like jump scares and gore.
Aesthetics.
I Googled it to, like, just randomly. And then it was like, you know how Google now shows you the movie times and stuff is near you? It's like, boom, it's at the Kendall Theater. I was like, oh, sweet, I could see Thanksgiving weekend. So then I was scrolling through the times. But no, they ended after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you could go to two showings. After that, the movie's gone. So this was on Wednesday morning.
Just like The Gallows.
Exactly. That was an underrated movie.
I thought the movie was good. It was on the Flophouse movie podcast. And they were, like, bagging on him. Like, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. So anyway, The Love Witch, this was Wednesday, and there were showings at 7 and 9:45, and my bedtime is, like, 9:30, so I'm like, I'll try to go to 7. So,
was it good?
It was worth the walk.
Okay.
So, yeah, nice half-hour walk over the river, crossing the river there.
Beautiful one.
And went to hit up Lord Hobo beforehand. It was a good crowd for it. It's, like, weird kind of, like... It's a feminist horror comedy.
Ugh.
And you kind of have to know what you're getting into.
Oh, wait, I didn't make that sound.
It was a good crowd because, like, they were laughing at appropriate times.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like a parody of 1960s love movies.
Like 1960s, like, screwball comedies?
It's like a 1960s movie. Like, it's weird. It's very anachronistic. So it's like, it feels like a 1960s movie, but then, like, people are driving around in, like, the most recent BMWs and whipping out smartphones and stuff like that, so.
But it's filmed like a comedy, but then...
Well, it's like, it's filmed kind of awkwardly, so it's like, you know, you have the beautiful woman who's, like, pining for a husband, and then you have, like, the series of handsome dudes that she seduces.
But then she, like, murders them.
Well, you don't know if it's accidentally on her.
Okay.
She's a witch.
Okay.
She's cooking up some love potions.
I'll watch that.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I'm into it.
I've never been, like, more captivated by an actress before than, like, watching this movie, too.
Who was in it?
Hasn't been anything else, but Samantha Robinson is amazing.
Excuse me.
Apparently, it took 7 years to get the movie made.
That's
the director.
Good.
And the director made all the set pieces and everything by herself.
That's your independent movie, right?
So there you go. There's my plug. Had it ensured I saw it within 2016. DVD doesn't come out to April, so I was like, you know what?
Jeez Louise.
Sacrifices you have to make for...
Is it on the list now?
Make a list at the end of the year.
Is it on the list?
It's on the list.
Is it middle,
it's
high,
high,
low?
High on the list.
High on the list,
not, huh? Maybe not top 10, but...
I'm sad I missed it.
All right, so that's that. That's our horror movie segment of the week as well. Go see The Love... Well, you can't go see The Love Witch. Figure out a way to see The Love Witch.
You can't see the movies we watch.
All right, so... as I said, we kicked off the show with some Mighty Mighty Bosstones. And for the next song, we're going to go outside the realm of Massachusetts punk and metal.
Mm.
So one unfortunate thing over during the past week was... local Melrose family friend slash... happens to be my family's mechanic. His family going back way, way, way long time. But their son, who is also a musician, passed away. And both he and his dad were huge Bosstones fans. That you could see, I went to the wake, and there was a whole bunch of his guitars were there. His father was wearing the Mighty Mighty Bosstones jacket, like all patched up, that they would go to see shows with. So we played some Bosstones for him. And now we're going to play you a song. So his name was Jason, and he was in a band recently called Floody and the BPs. Floody was his nickname. And they did a lot of original blues stuff, also a lot of covers. So when they actually competed in a couple of Battle of Bands this past summer, including one at Canopy Lake, and then they were at another show. This is I grabbed the best audio quality I could get, but it was a live performance of, or a live cover of, Monkey Wrench by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, good.
It's one of the few songs that Jason actually sang. This was at the Tupelo in New Hampshire. I'm not familiar with the venue, but
no.
It was a big, well produced recording or video of them playing. So this is a tribute to a local scene member who passed away this past week.
Young kid.
Yep, 20 years old. Flooding the BPs. This is a live cover of the Foo Fighters' Monkey Wrench, and you're listening to it on Brutal Brunch here, WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We'll be right back.
I'm never free. just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
There you go, Matt. That's your, that's on point for you.
So good.
That's your vocal range right there, right?
It is. That's a, I can get up there.
That was Without Warning in their cover of The Trooper by Iron Maiden.
Amazing song.
That wraps up our new music block of the week. We kick things off with Flooding the BPs. That was a cover, live cover of Monkey Wrench. Then we had Within the Ruins with Death of the Rockstar off of Halfway Human. That album drops next March. Prorenata with Drive off their upcoming EP called West. Then we had new stuff from Leatherlung. That was Shadow of the Scythe off of Lost in Temptation. And then we had The Trooper. And now this.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
This week, November 19th through the 26th. Kind of a lean week. I think it's because it's the holiday. Not a lot of album releases come except for Black Friday. You get a lot of compilation CDs.
Yeah, there's a record store day thing going on.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through that kind of stuff. Anyway, let's get into it. November 20th, 2007, the year of our Lord, Visania, Polish black and symphonic black metal band, releases their album Collusions. It's basically, you know, up my alley. It's up there. I don't know. I'm playing it.
Oh, my bad.
Nope, no worries. I mean, you get it. It's good. Get your violins in the background, your medieval songs. There's lutes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's good stuff.
Fade that down. So that's Visania with Collusions. On November 20th, 1990... hair metal band Cinderella from Philadelphia, shout outs to Cheesesteak and Kevin Werner, releases their album Heartbreak Station.
Oh boy.
So Cinderella is like a band that kind of came up in the like Motley Crue Poison era, and they all kind of look the same with like teased out hair. But then they just went off in a different direction and decided to say, you know, we're not gonna necessarily be hair metal, we're gonna be more like blues
metal. Black and hair metal? Oh, no.
No. So this album is their most like bluesy folk rock sounding album, if you can barely hear it in the background. And when I was listening to this album for today's segment, it reminded me that this album came out in 90. That's 26 years ago. But I feel like every single like new folk band that they use in like Honda commercials or like Starbucks is based off this Cinderella album. Especially this part where they're literally like clapping their hands and stuff. Like the big drums.
Mumford and Sons took that just out of the banjo.
Anyway, shout out to Cinderella. Thank you for giving us a new genre of music called commercial music. After that, November 22nd, 85, Dokken releases the album Under Lock and Key, the third studio album from hair metal sweet boys Dokken with their weird Dungeons and Dragons vibe. I love it. I wasn't old enough obviously to know Dokken when it came out, but I knew Dokken from Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the Dream Warriors, because they did the entire soundtrack, including title track Dream Warrior, which is amazing. This is The Hunter off of Dokken's Under Lock and Key, which came out 31 years ago, November 22nd, 85. Pretty standard Dokken.
I would say so.
I feel like it's, you have to listen to the song. Like, if you're driving now in a regular car, it would turn into a 86 T-top Camaro and your sleeves would disappear. I think that's just what would happen if you listen to too much of this music. There you go, that's Dokken with The Hunter. November 23rd, 81, AC/DC releases essentially the soundtrack to football with For Those About to Rock. So I know you
don't
like...
Not to be confused with the soundtrack of Maximum Overdrive.
No, that's also good. So you're not... Are you not both an NFL fan and an AC/DC fan? Are you not both?
I am none of the above. The football I watched on Thanksgiving was Europa, Southampton versus Sparta Prague.
Oh, you nerd. I'm going to jump across this table and give you a wedgie. So I did watch football this weekend because I was at my brother-in-law's house and they love football. Him and my sister actually love football. And the Cowboys game had this extremely soft, like, country music guy. Like, he was country music in the fact that he had a cowboy hat, but everything else was like, I didn't really pick up on it. And so, like, you're in a football game, which is like full of like finely tuned athletes and criminals who are running at each other at like breakneck speeds and creating like car crash collisions. And then, okay, halftime. Here's a song where they have like the paid actors on the field like swaying back and forth. And I'm like, this is wrong. And as much as you don't like AC/DC, you cannot argue with me that AC/DC is essentially the only band that should ever play in a football stadium ever. I don't understand why you'd do anything else. Like, do you see the Super Bowl? I'm gonna guess no, you didn't see the
Super
Bowl.
That's an accurate guess.
Coldplay was the halftime show. Why?
I tuned in for Coldplay? No, I did not. For the record, no.
And I was bored to tears. Like, I'd just been watching pure violence, and then they're like, now we're gonna go to Coldplay, and they're gonna sing songs about feelings. And, like, thank God Beyonce, like, blew up a cop car or whatever to, like, bring the crowd back on their feet, because I was so bored. Anyway, this is AC/DC off For Those About to Rock. This is, who knows, this is Venom with Brian Johnson.
Ooh, nice foreshadowing.
It's foreshadowing today. So it sounds like an AC/DC song.
We lost it.
Oh, there it is. No, you didn't. You didn't lose it at
all. Shows how much I know about AC/DC.
It's very bluesy. All the dads just woke up and were like, what? Music's on the radio. Anyway, I like AC/DC. What's your beef with them? They're just like too overplayed?
It's just not very good music in my taste.
Wow.
And overplayed.
They're just like the
official band of just everything wrong with America.
That's true too.
It's like, what do they say that?
They had an album released only at Walmart.
Jesus and Mero, they say the four F-150s are the official trucks of racists. It's like AC/DC's official band of just stuff I don't do.
That's true. I don't know. I like AC/DC.
Stuff I don't like.
Think about it. November 23rd, 87, Black Sabbath releases The Eternal Idol, the 13th studio album from Black Sabbath, and the first with vocalist Tony Martin, who is, fun fact, the second longest tenured vocalist on Sabbath, besides, obviously, Ozzy.
Uh-huh.
I like Tony Martin. I think he's a great singer. Unfortunately, like, in the world, even though Dio was in the band for much less of a tenure or a much shorter period of time, for me, it's Ozzy 1 and then Dio 1A and then Tony Martin 2.
You want another hot take? Another band I don't really like?
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is the metal history. You're going to get a lot of Black Sabbath.
Oh, I'm not complaining about the history. I'm just like the world's worst metal fan because I'm like...
Well, you're a new metal fan.
Eh.
That's what you are.
I don't even like... Metallica's like, okay.
Metallica's...
I just like... You could tell I just not as into the whole thrash side of things. Something like that.
That's
thrash
true.
Side of metal.
Well, I got into it on thrash. In fact, we were talking earlier with the cover of The Trooper that I was such a poser that I had heard The Trooper
yes.
when Sum 41 covered it at the end of a music video for something. I was watching MTV. I was like, this is great. What is this? And I thought Sum 41 did that song, and that's not accurate. And then I found Iron Maiden, and then it was off to the races for your boy.
Somebody said recently that Sum 41 had like the most brutal production of like of the past decade or whatever. But like somebody like who's like legit into metal like said that. And it's 41. Like, because they're like, that's, I mean, they're a pop punk band, but they like want to be a metal band.
They were more metal-ish. I don't know. They were whatever.
I saw them live this summer, by the way.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Are they casualties? Have they become casualties of society?
Yeah, they were, and then they pulled themselves back from the brink.
Right. That's good to know. This is Black Sabbath anyway, November 23rd, 87, with The Eternal Idol, with your boys, Tony Martin, and this is him doing Ancient Warrior. Tony Martin is a great singer. Like, it's hard to separate the sound of Black Sabbath from Ozzy's like weird voice, and Tony Martin's just a better singer, I think, and so is Dio, quite frankly. Yeah. There you go. That's Tony Martin with Sabbath doing the Eternal Idol. I mean, Eternal Idol, excuse me, Ancient Warrior off of Eternal Idol. In 99, same day, November 23rd, University of Oregon student Jeffrey Levy was the first person ever convicted under the Net Act of 1997 for illegally downloading MP3s. The question is, as I was researching this, is do you know what he was downloading? It's 97 is the act, but I think the trial actually happened in 2000.
It was like, because I remember the trial happening.
I want to say it was just Garage Inc. He just downloaded it and Lars came personally to his house.
Lars just popped out.
I hear you downloading my music.
Metallica, by the way, now on Napster.
Sure.
20 years later. Or 15 years later, because they need to get that album out to the streamers.
Shout out to Jeffrey Levy. He had to do 2 years of probation, and his internet access was limited.
That was unbelievable. And then you had like people's grandmothers getting in trouble, because like somebody, like they go, like a kid would go over his grandmother's house, download some music, and then it would get tracked to them, and it'd be like.
That's the thing too. I don't know. It's weird dedication of a fan too, because I remember I would go, because I had not so much Napster, but I was more into the Kazaa, LimeWire realm. Yeah. Of music, and you'd like queue up 5 songs in the morning, go to school for 6 to 7 hours, come back, and then 3 would be okay, and 1 would be like,
oh, that was the worst. The worst sound in the world. Like, people complain about a lot of things. If you were around from like, you know, 99 to 03, and you downloaded a bad MP3 file, that would just ruin your day.
It's funny too, because when we got
the traumatic sound,
and then when you were in college and you were like, check out my iTunes playlist, guys, and then they'd be like, oh, I see you have 5 copies of Enter Sandman or something. And then one would just be like, so there you go. Jeffrey Levy, the first victim in the war against internet piracy. November 24th, 2007, Arch Enemy releases Tyrants of the Rising Sun, a CD and DVD of a tour with Angela Gossow on vocals.
Yeah.
Our favorite. If you ever want to learn how to try to do the metal growl, she has a literally 45-minute... I think it's filmed at a seminar that she was giving somewhere. And she has PowerPoints and documents, and she's extremely professional. And I don't know if
she's a former journalist.
I don't know if it's sexist, but I'm always like, I don't understand how the big voice comes out of this little lady. That's probably sexist. I apologize. What do you think? Matt is sitting there silent. Anyway, it's amazing.
There's a lot of vocals like that where you don't see, like even like a band like Whitechapel, like the singer's the smallest dude in the band.
He's a small guy. Yeah, anyway, it just shows, like, it's an immense amount of skill to, like, get to the metal growl.
Yeah,
and I know
train.
We make fun of the pig squeal, or not make fun of it, we celebrate it occasionally, but it's like, I don't know how to do that either, and it's extremely difficult. Anyway, this is Angela Gossow and Arch Enemy doing Ravenous. This is essentially, like, a live tour and DVD of their, like, tour in Japan, so the crowd is nuts. Get to the vocals. There you go, Arch Enemy was Ravenous.
She's no longer singing for them.
No longer. They just, in 2015, they stuck with new lady whose name I can't remember.
From the Agonist initially.
I had it. I had that information because I knew I wanted to talk about it, and then I lost it.
She has a hyphenated last name.
Yeah.
Alessa something.
November 25th, 91, Skid Row releases their single In a Darkened Room. I just kind of like Skid Row. I had a strong take one night. That Skid Row is better than Guns N' Roses for that era of music. I think that Sebastian Bach has a greater vocal range and is a better performer than Axl Rose. That's just my thoughts. I think I'm right, though. Anyway, this is...
told you we have brutal takes on the show.
Skid Row's November 25th, 91, single In a Darkened Room. It's a ballad. It's fine. Listen to Youth Gone Wild.
Ooh!
Let the lyrics get in.
Beyond the reach of God's face.
Think about it. Think about it. It's Sebastian Bach is a beautiful man. Due to contractual obligations, I am required to mention a power metal band. On November 25th, 2011, German power metal band Mystic Prophecy releases their album Raven Lord, which sounds like you would think it would sound. It's a little bit crunchier, a little less clean guitar, and a little more of the crunchy driving guitar. And then here's Raven Lord.
Based on our power metal track record, expect some big news from them in the coming week.
Expect a new Mystic Prophecy album based on what we've done with Hammerfall, so forth. And again, this is Raven Lord. Whoops. Go. No!
All right, you let me know when it's good to go.
Yeah.
I'll mention real quick, I saw Arch Enemy in a foreign country.
Oh, you did?
Myself, yes.
Where?
Amsterdam.
Were they good? I mean,
it was fantastic.
And
it was
like with Angela.
Angela was there. Yeah, she like the metal crowd, like the atmosphere there was so different from the U.S. Who else did I see there? Chthonic played. They're the crazy Taiwanese band. The dude who ran for office.
Yes.
And Warbringer out of California opened. And but yeah, like everybody was there. They're into the music, but everyone kind of kept to themselves. There was no like real pit.
No,
but it was like a full crowd. Everyone just kind of danced.
A friendly crowd.
It was a friendly metal crowd.
I wonder if do you think it's distinctly American?
I mean, I'm not saying it's maybe not, but I mean, like, if you know, because you see like those pits at like what about the death festivals, all the metal festivals, but like
that's
in this one venue in Amsterdam. It was
that
pretty
sounds
chill
pleasant
crowd.
To me, because yeah. I don't want to get punched anymore.
It was great.
Too old.
Everyone was just kind of like doing their own little mosh.
I love it. All right, I apologize for the error before. Here's Raven Lord from your boys, Mystic Prophecy. It's good. Speaking of power metal, that Hammerfall album is going well. And that is your metal history from this past week.
Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Very enjoyable, as always. And now, for the upcoming week in metal, these are bands that you can see in the States at all different venues. And pay attention, because we're going to be playing some of these bands, including ones that we have never played before on the show. And that dates back to the Graveyard Shift days. So first, Monday, tomorrow, November 28th, at the Paradises, Andrew W.K., the Sinclair has Toke. He is Thomas of Streetlight Manifesto. Doing a show at O'Brien's, it's End On, Din, and Coffin Birth. The Middle East has Buried Electric with Mindwalk Boulevard, Emissivity, Altium, and Vile. Tuesday, the 29th, at the Sinclair, it's the Giraffe Tongue Orchestra with Worshipper and Await Rescue. Wednesday night, Royale, is Animals as Leaders with Intervals and Pliny. Once has Abigail Williams with Wolfhammer, Lord Almighty, and Amiensis. There you go. Uncharted and Lowell. So, I guess this band is just XXXXX with Diana, Bedtime Magic, Through Fear, and The Natural Disasters.
Pronounced.
Well, it's like the band Chick 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 with 3 exclamation points. Like, what? These people. Thursday, December 1st, the P.S. Lounge, it's Overgrowth, Burnham Wood, and Diva Carr. Ralph's, it's Metal Thursday with Worshipper, Summoner, Hessian, and Winterbolt. O'Brien's Pub has Los Bungalitos, Mama La Dia, out of Spain, Covered in Bees, In the S, and Black Friday. Friday, December 2nd, at once, it's Windhand, Z28, and Ilsa. Great Scott has Thank You Scientist, Moontooth, and Teat Club. Cantab Lounge, it's Travel Amygdala presents Pathogenic, Intoxicated Rage, Achilles,
what?
Unkempt Herald, Myth of I and Diana.
We should go. At the Cantab?
At the Cantab.
It's like our revenge.
Yes. We have our day. Metal Night at Cantab. Tavern at the A out in Pittsfield has Cazador, Vacant Eyes, Virus of Ideals, and Crimson, which is a brand new band. It's their debut show, and we'll play them later. Saturday, December 3rd, the Palladium has Epica with... listen to this lineup. Epica. With Flesh God Apocalypse, Arcona, The Agonist, Seven Spires, Thunder Forge, Forever's Fallen Grace, Within the Abyss, and Golden Hall.
Very good. All good bands.
PA's Lounge is Kilroy, The Sunset Kings, Pootie Dooks, yep. Temple of Mars, Grand Haven, Above the Din, and The Apple Yards. The Middle East, it's America's Hardcore Fest. With Fury, Unified Right, Big Contest, Protester, Hard Stripes, Crime Watch, Civic Duty, and Free. And that is your concert calendar for the week in metal.
Good concerts.
And now we're going to jump into some bands that you can see that we just talked about. Before we do, we had a band called Zombie Frogs. They submitted a track to us. They are promoting an upcoming album, which is out next month. It's called Multiply. But we're going to play you their single called Anura. Came out a couple years ago. And enjoy it. Get hype for their new album. You're listening to Zombie Frogs here on the Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Get hype!
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO, Mefud.